Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, a very wet Tuesday morning. Tuesday, March the 26th, 2024, 9 and a half minutes past the hour here. WGH Talk Radio. And we have a guest joining us momentarily here this morning. And I'll tell you, if I seem a little bleary-eyed or a little husky voice this morning, it's because Matt Morgan and I last night attended the Marion City Council meeting. Now, I had not attended a city council meeting in probably 5 weeks, maybe 4 or 5 weeks. Last night's meeting, now I clocked this, last night's meeting lasted 3 hours and 25 minutes. Now, however you want to qualify that, the meeting itself lasted 3 hours and 25 minutes. Now remember, these meetings do not start until 6:30. So that tells you that we did not get out of there until nearly 10 o'clock. It was a long night. And to be honest with you, the agenda was not all that long. It wasn't a short agenda, but it was not 3 hours and 25 minutes. Now, the reason for that, and there was nothing really even all that startling on the agenda. Let's go to the phone calls here, and then we'll come back to this. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, you guys aren't doing obituaries anymore?
You know, weren't they in there this morning? You know, we went quickly to the top of the hour here. I wondered if something was missing.
There's a day last week, too, that I know you didn't do the obituaries. I don't know.
You know, I'm not sure. I know one day last week, I think it was Thursday, the news from the day before had played, and I did not know the obituaries. But I did look over this morning, and I thought, boy, we're going on the air awful quick here this morning. So
maybe
the obituaries,
I've been drinking too much or smoking too much or something.
You know, I'm sure it's a computer glitch, because usually he's right on top of that stuff. It probably is a computer glitch, and hopefully the obituaries will be back by 10 o'clock this morning. But, yeah, I would imagine. Did you hear the lady from PETA yesterday?
Yeah.
Now, that has gotten so much angry feedback. Now, not angry at me, just kind of angry at PETA. What do you make of this whole eggs for potatoes thing?
Oh, my God. You know, that's ridiculous. How can you take them serious when they say stuff like that?
Oh, I just got a message from Adam, by the way, who's out there listening this morning. There were only 2 obituaries today, so a short obituary day.
Well, that's good. Not very many people died.
Yeah, that's he's saying, let's see. Yeah, well, he's just saying there were only 2 this morning. He would like to add a few from time to time, but those people, I guess, are still with us. I don't know. I think it's very interesting that we'd only have 2 obituaries, because some mornings we have over 5 minutes of obituaries.
Right.
Well, yeah, but back to the PETA woman. There has been such feedback from people I ran into in the public yesterday, and also on our social media Facebook page. I am shocked at the number of people who commented on that interview. It really elicited something out of people, more than the groundhog. The groundhog story, I mean, you had some comments on that. Some people said stuff about it. It wasn't a big topic of conversation, but boy, that whole thing about getting rid of the Easter eggs for potatoes, that really got people steamed.
Yeah, she's, you know, it seems like she believes what she says, but, you know, I just don't know how people can have that, you know, that much, you know, they go crazy, you know, not only protecting the animals, the eggs, you know, there's a lot more pressing details that we could do to help animals more than, you know, worrying about the Easter egg hunt.
Well, how do you think she came off? See, I felt, honestly, that she was very honest and earnest in what she was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just felt that I think if they had not said potato, I think if they had said plastic egg, I think if they had said orange or apple, something that rolls down a hill, I think they would have been further ahead.
But the plastic egg, I mean, that's not hurting animals. And that's saying, you know, we can do better than a regular, you know, diet using eggs for Easter. We got these plastic ones. You think that would satisfy PETA? You know, that no animals are being harmed in the aspect. She talked about those chickens, you know, in these factories and stuff, but, you know, animals have been put on this earth, you know, to help each other, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
The weak survive, you know, one animal eats another animal, they hunt. You know, that's normal in animal vernacular. You know, the animals eat other animals and feed on other animals. That's just how God, if there is a God, set it up. You know, it's ridiculous that, you know, animals have to eat and survive by eating other animals and doing the violence and stuff, but hey, talk to the big man upstairs and ask him why, you know, everybody can't grow corn and eat it instead of animals eating each other.
Well, I'll tell you what confused me, because like I said, I'm not necessarily for the whole replacing the groundhog with the coin idea, but I understood what they were saying, because, you know, groundhogs are supposed to be in hibernation, groundhogs really can't tell the weather, it's kind of a gimmicky thing. I got that. And I understand that Easter eggs, in and of itself, are probably a gimmicky thing. But I didn't understand how targeting the White House Easter egg roll was going to get people to stop eating or using Easter eggs all across the country. That's what I was confused about.
Oh, it's not. But she's just going to, you know, if they can get a response from the White House and, you know, they're going to feel, you know, justified. I don't think the White House is going to respond to it. I wouldn't. You know, if I was Dr. Joe Biden, I wouldn't respond to that.
No, I think they'll continue on doing their Easter egg roll, but I just was completely shocked at the response, because I a lot of times when we do a national interview like that that really has no tie to Marion, there's not a whole lot of response. But boy, that one really struck a nerve with people in whatever way. And I don't know, I think it has something to do with tradition, because like I was telling somebody yesterday, you know, the Easter Bunny is really not what Easter is all about, and bunnies don't lay eggs anyway, so I'm not even sure how we got to the whole colored egg thing from the Easter Bunny. But, yeah, it's strange in and of itself, but we like that. We've been doing it for a long time, so we feel it's our thing. I don't know. It's odd in a certain way.
Yeah, just, you know, how people can have that, you know, that much of an attitude over something that's trivial.
Well, I'll tell you, last night, this city council meeting, first one I've been to in about 4 or 5 weeks, 3 hours and 25 minutes this thing went on, and it didn't start till 6:30, so it was about 10 or 9:55 when we were able to leave last night. You know what, I'm sure there have been longer council meetings, but boy, that's probably the longest one that I've ever attended.
Did you record it?
You know, I didn't record the whole thing, and honestly, on the whole, there wasn't a whole lot of arguing or that sort of thing. That's not really what was going on. It just seemed there were a lot of appropriations last night, and it just seemed like people weren't sure on the numbers, people weren't sure on exactly how to change things up. It all started with the budget last night. They added the budget to the agenda last night, approving the budget and making some changes to it. And then after that, it was off and running. And it seemed like so many things were questioned last night. There was a big contretemps last night between the head of CANDU, Gus Comstock, and city council. And then there was a gentleman who was there, actually Terry Klein, who's called into this station quite a bit. And he was there and not very happy with how Marion CANDU has been run, and at one point he even took a shot at Gus Comstock's physique during the meeting.
Yeah, we haven't heard much from Terry for a while, but I remember when I first started listening, you know, he was on there a lot.
Yeah, he was there last night, and I don't even want to say he took a shot, because I'm not even sure that's what happened, but essentially what happened was Terry Klein pointed out that Gus Comstock does not even live in Marion, and this is the guy who's running CANDU for the last 10 years, that Gus lives in Delaware. So when Gus got up to speak, somebody asked him something in that area, how much time do you spend in Marion? And he said he probably spends more time in Marion than a lot of people who live here, because on the weekends, he cycles to Marion. And then Terry got back up after this whole exchange went down and says, well, Gus says he cycles to Marion. Well, I think his physique would not prove that out. And then he was admonished for saying that.
Was it meaning that he's too fat or something?
I think that was the implication. I don't want to say that's what it was, but it certainly got the first ward city councilman, Mr. Barr, angry for Terry saying that. And then the president of city council, I believe, banged her gavel at that point to stop the exchange. So
I thought Dean Jacob was the head of CANDU, or he's the head of something here.
No, Dean's the community foundation.
Okay.
Yeah.
I heard on your program that he's going to be retiring.
Yeah, Dean's retiring. I don't know exactly. I think it's this year some point.
Well, that's good for him.
Yeah, he's been at that quite a while, and
family has the Southland Lanes here for years.
Yeah, and you know, Norma is still alive, 101 years old.
Oh, wow.
Yep, Norma. I saw Norma when we were doing the Mary Ellen events. I saw her at one of those events, and she turned 101 in February.
Yeah, we used to go bowling a lot, and Bowling there, and his family, you know, ran that. It's amazing that his mom's still alive.
Yeah, you know, and it's 101. Can you even imagine living more than a century?
No, and hopefully she gets around. She has a good, you know, control over bowels and everything else. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily want to live 101 if you didn't have no quality of life.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't really know, honestly. I didn't spend much time with her at the event because there was a lot going on. I really don't know what her medical condition is, but she looks like Norma. She was smiling. So, you know, as far as that goes, that was nice.
So you got an interview coming up?
Yeah, there's an interview coming up. I just got a message a few minutes ago that she would be here in about 10 minutes. So this will be a localized interview, so more of a local interview than the national interview yesterday. But what do you make on the whole of what you've heard about what's going on in the city with the whole Schertzer Park thing, with the whole certainly auditor's office is always a topic of conversation.
It don't sound like anybody knows anything what's going on up there. You know, the bad thing is they've lost a mayor that knew his road around, you know, the political system in Marion and all this stuff. And they've lost council members, you know, that was experienced and knew what was. Sounds like we got a group of a few new people that don't know anything, you know, how to run the city, the meetings, even the meetings, like, you know, can't even run.
Well, I don't want to pass judgment on anybody because I sat there for the entire 3 hours and 25 minutes last night, but it just, I don't know where the problem lies, to be honest, because, you know, Matt was there with me, and maybe we'll get some of his opinions of it on Friday, but there were just some things going on there that were, I would say, confusing, honestly, for a lot of people. If you would try to follow that meeting, it started out with one of the council people, one of the new council people, Twyla Lang, talking about how things needed to be taken out of the budget because the city was spending too much money, and it just kind of went from there. And then because there was were some changes to the budget, that caused some problems for some things they were trying to do later on in the evening as far as appropriations to pay things. And it just seemed like it continually went on and on and on. And again, a lot of it came back to the auditor's office last night. There were some exchanges, mostly between Jason Schauber and Ayers Ratliff. And Twyla Lang was in on a few of those with the auditor's office, with Miranda, who was there last night. So it was that sort of situation. You know, it just, I don't know if you'd call it deteriorated, but the council people were definitely ready to go after 3 hours and 25 minutes.
Oh, I imagine. You'll vote any way they want as long as you don't let you get up and leave here. That's what law enforcement does to people. You know, they deprive them of sleep and everything else until they get them to, you know, you take somebody's dead tired and out of it and stuff. You can get them to say anything.
Well, I have the agenda in front of me, and I'm looking here. Like I said, it wasn't a terribly long agenda. Old business, under old business, there were six items, and then under new business, there were five items. So there were 11 items on the agenda last night, and 11 items ballooned into 3 hours and 25 minutes.
Yeah, it sounds like it shouldn't have took that long for 11 items.
No, and most of them were appropriations.
Talk about one item, I mean.
Well, some of them went quite a while. And again, I think it's because right off the start, the budget was talked about. Twyla Lang, one of the council people, brought up the budget and some things because I believe she's the head of the finance committee. And there was a whole big issue there, all the work that she had done in the last week, trying to track things down, so on and so forth. And I think that is where it started. And I think from then on, it just got confusing for a lot of people because the council people weren't sure because of what they'd done right off the bat, if they needed to change some of the other things they were doing. It just got very confusing. And the thing with Can Do, that went on for probably a good 45 minutes. Just that one item alone. Whether or not, I'm going to read the ordinance here so I don't have it wrong about Can Do. But it was an ordinance redeclaring the city of Marion's support for Can Do in order to continue the economic prosperity of the greater Marion area and declaring an emergency. Now, it was just the second reading. Now, that we got stuck on that for, like I say, quite a while because Terry Klein got up and spoke, Gus Comstock got up and spoke, and then Terry Klein got up and spoke again, and then there were some questions from council members, and that went on for some time.
Well, what did they're trying to get some people vote for support for Can Do or what?
Well, a lot of it came down to money. There was a big question of
appropriating money for them or something.
Well, it's my understanding, one of the hitches in this is that, and this is, Ayers Ratliff has brought this up before, that the new service director, Mr. Bodine, who works for the city, gets paid by the city, but also gets paid by Can-Do to do work for them. So there was a big question of, does he do that on the city clock? Should we be paying him twice, is how Ayers Ratliff referred to it. Why are more people not outraged about the fact that he's being paid by Can-Do and also by the city? It's like we're paying him twice.
What's he doing for Can-Do, though?
You know, honestly, his job description with Can-Do, I don't want to say, because I know it has something to... I'm not really sure. I know last night that it officially started, the contract officially started, I believe, in 2023. I think it has something to do with signage, and I'm sure some consulting in to some degree. I think that's what Mr. Bodine does for Can-Do. And then there was also a discussion about City Councilman Pollock sitting on the Can-Do board when he's also a member of Can-Do, if I remember that right. I think that came up last night. That was brought up by Terry Klein. So, you know, it was a quick deterioration last night. I said, when you get to a meeting 3 hours and 25 minutes, and, you know, we're talking about people's physique at one point in the meeting, it was an interesting meeting. But I don't know that I would call it hugely contentious. There were moments where it was contentious amongst people, but it just seemed like there was a lot of confusion throughout the entire meeting, and I think it all started from the budget change right at the top. And from then on, it was downhill.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think people should get paid twice, maybe, but... I mean, just what... If we knew what he was doing and what he was getting paid for, you know, you might look at it different. I mean, you know, cops sometimes, they get paid for their regular shift and they work overtime. You know, a store will hire them to come in there and be there, and the store pays them for that. You know what I'm saying? Is that wrong? No.
But, well, I think Ayers, and Ayers is the one who's really harped on this one, and I've heard him bring it up before, is that he feels that the money the city is paying Can-Do is essentially paying Mr. Bodine's salary, and they're already paying Mr. Bodine's salary because he gets a pretty good salary from the city, and if you take the two salaries, I believe he's making over $100,000. I think that's the contention, is that why is the city paying him twice? Because if they're paying him to work for the city, shouldn't he be working with Can-Do anyway?
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. I'm glad Terry brought that up. I mean...
Oh, he brought it up.
And most people don't even know that.
No, I don't think most... Well, and again, this is the problem with, you know, a lack of media... And also a lack of people attending the meetings. Now, last night, it started with a good crowd. I mean, and a good crowd for a city council meeting is probably 35, 40 people. But by the end, there weren't many of us who were left on the island by the end of that 3 hours and 25 minute meeting. I would say maybe by the end, there might have been 10 people left. Wasn't a whole lot.
Lost my train of thought.
Well, that's no problem. You can call back anytime.
Okay,
thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. All right, and our guest has arrived this morning, somebody who was at that 3 hour and 25 minute meeting last night for the duration, Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis. Miranda, good to have you back in the studio today.
Yeah, it's good to see you, Scott.
Yeah. Let's just start from the top. A broad question here. 3 hours and 25 minutes. Not a huge agenda for a 3 hour and 25 minute meeting. What did you make of the whole thing on the whole?
I think you kind of summarized it pretty well. I think it was very confusing for a lot of people. I think the biggest thing, again, obviously, and you said it already, was the budget. The budget was passed last night with some changes. But that did kind of spur a lot of confusion for the rest of the agenda.
What happened there at from the top? Miss Lang, one of the council people, came in, said she'd worked on the budget all week, and they wanted to pass some changes to the budget. And they did, but because of those changes, it caused problems for most everything they did last night as far as appropriations go.
Right. So one of the things that council likes to see when they get ordinances with appropriations on it is they like to see the current line item balances. So obviously when they make changes to the budget, seeing those line item balances that are already presented adds confusion because those numbers are no longer accurate. So I think that was the big problem, is that the appropriations in front of them weren't necessarily as accurate as they could have been because of those budget changes.
You know, now, did the city pass a budget at the beginning of the year?
They passed a 25% budget, yes.
Right. Now, what does that mean for people who have no idea what a 25% budget is?
So basically what they did is they took the full budget for the year and they cut it down to one quarter. So for the first 3 months to get us through everyone else, like the mayor and Miss Lang, and we had our director of budget management start. So the three of them were taking the opportunity to go through the budget and see if there was a way they could balance it. Basically, it gives us 3 months to operate while those checks are going through. Now, obviously, for us, it was a little bit different because we also passed a 50% budget because we were thinking they were going to need more time and get us through the second quarter of the year. And then last night, they passed the whole thing.
And in your opinion, was this a good idea, what they did last night, the changes and passing it all the way?
I think it'll give a lot more wiggle room for people to operate. I think that maybe if we had passed the budget and had the opportunity to see the numbers and what they actually looked like at the final end, I think that would have been a little bit better. But obviously, in the middle of a council meeting, I didn't have time to run upstairs and get those numbers to them, but that's what I'll be working on for the rest of the week.
Now, the new position was created, one new position in the Collins administration, budget position, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the title of that position?
The Director of Budget Management.
Budget Management. Now, this person has started.
Yes.
Now, this is where the first hitch came in last night.
Right.
Because this person, I guess, has been paid.
Yes.
But yet, nobody knew how she'd been paid because apparently the money had not been appropriated.
And that, I think, is where, I think you're right, is where a lot of the confusion started. What I found when that question was asked is the position was created, and when that position was created, it looks like monies were funded into that line item to pay that position. So now we'd have to go back and read the ordinance that created that position, but that was what was titled in that line for that budget adjustment.
So why did this cause so much confusion? Because what I couldn't figure out last night was, I assume they knew that she had started. I mean, they voted in the position. I believe there was even a council member last night who said she had met, I think it was Twyla, had met this person, because there were some who said they've never even met this person.
Right.
So I don't know. Did they think she was working for free until last night? I guess I didn't understand that part of it.
That I'm not entirely sure of either. I mean, obviously, when you work for the city, I would hope that people would, you know, understand that means a paycheck comes with it. But I'm not sure where that confusion started. I mean, I understand the position was created, but to have the funds in there, they would have had to appropriate them. And I believe that's the step that was kind of skipped.
Well, it seemed like in a lot of issues, that was what kept being brought up, was that can you just pull money from anywhere? Are things being appropriated? Do we know the exact numbers on things? You know, that came up a lot.
It did.
Last night in the 3 hours and 25 minutes. So being in the meeting and being put on the spot in the meeting, not knowing these questions are going to be asked, is one thing. But now that you've had a little bit of time to reflect on it, what do you make of those questions and what went on last night?
I mean, again, and this is something that I've said several times, I think everybody's kind of frustrated with the situation of what's going on with the budget and how things have been passed previously. I know that there's been issues in my office as far as appropriations being accurate and that kind of thing. So I understand that there's a lot of frustration that comes along with it. I understand people are upset by how things have been going. But I think that ultimately by passing the full budget, I think there's going to make it, it's going to be a lot smoother from here on out.
As far as inside the auditor's office, now we haven't talked in a couple months about that. How would you say things are coming along?
I think things are coming along great. I mean, we've definitely had some positive progress on our bank reconciliation project, which is what's been eating up a lot of our time lately. Positive progress on the bank reconciliation project also then means that we're going to have start having more positive progress on our audits, and we're going to get back on track. So things are definitely headed in the right direction.
Now, that's good. Now, as far as getting to where we need to be, which has been a long process, how long, and nobody has a crystal ball, but on the track you're on, do you think we might be in that neighborhood?
To get back to where we need to be?
To where we need to be, books all reconciled, know where money's going, can say that this much money's here and this much money's there.
I want to say that we probably are about 6 months out. And the only reason why is because that gives us time to get our audits and everything back on track as well. I know my internal auditor's been working diligently to get the bank recs going and maintain them moving forward. She's actually been able to get 2 months of this year so far reconciled to the penny, which has been fantastic. We haven't been able to do that up until this point. So she's doing really, really good with those. I've got hopefully our 2022 bank reconciliation project starting soon, which means those will get out of the way as well. So I'd say maybe 6 months.
6 months. Now, that seems like a small amount of time considering what we've been going through for basically about the last 5 years now.
Right.
Right. So what allowed this to happen? What has allowed us to get within 6 months?
So a lot of it has to hinge on the right questions being asked, right? So obviously, when I started a little over 2 years ago, I didn't have enough information to ask the right questions. I was asking a lot of questions, but not necessarily the right ones. Since we've been able to narrow down the problems and actually hone in on how to fix it, we've been able to find out what those questions are and ask them. And a lot of that comes with dealing with not just our bank reconciliation project manager at Veritas, but also partnering with the state. We have a representative from Tyler Technologies, who's our software company. So we've had this kind of core group of people working on this project from different entities, and we've all been able to come together and work on it together. So I think that's been the most help.
Now, last night I heard something and kind of straightened me out on this, but I can't even remember who asked, which council person asked the question, but it was something in regard to your deputy auditor, Martin Watts, and his bond being called in. Was that right? Somebody's bond being called? There was something with a bond last night.
Oh, I believe Mr. Ratliff asked if my
internal auditor.
Yes, had her bond set at the correct amount. That question was raised several months ago, and I had actually brought it up to her as well. I haven't followed up with it on her about whether or not we've increased her bond, but that was one of the things that I have to follow up on today.
Now, what does that mean? Why would that be set at a wrong amount? Why are there questions from Mr. Ratliff about this?
I don't want to necessarily say a wrong amount. So bonds are essentially insurance that cover individuals in the event that as they're touching cash, something gets messed up. And it can cover you up to a certain dollar figure to cover for errors or mistakes, things like that. So when I first came into office, all the bonds that were in the office were set at $100,000, which is a relatively low number given the number of dollars that we deal with on a daily basis. Prior to Mr. Landon being in office, they were always at $250,000. When Mr. Landon came in, I guess he decided to save some money and cut them down to $100,000. I made the decision to take them back up to $250,000, but my internal auditors never got changed. I didn't have an internal auditor for a little bit of time, so when it did get adjusted, it was only at $100,000. So we need to get that adjusted and make sure it's back up at $250,000.
Now, how are things going in the office functionally at this point with the deputy? Because there was a lot of questions about Martin at one point.
Right.
How's that all working out?
There's been some hiccups still. There's been some errors here and there. There's been some contention between him and a few other departments in City Hall. But I think we've mostly got those ironed out at this point.
Now, what has caused the contention there overall?
usually it's the errors that come out with appropriations and things like that on any legislation.
For somebody who doesn't understand any of this, why do the errors still exist? Because if you attend a council meeting, it would seem as if they don't believe that they should be existing at this point and that everything should be the way it needs to be.
Right. So at this point, the errors, part of the confusion with what numbers were coming on legislation was, which balance are we using? Are we using the full year balance? Are we using the available balance? Are we using the balance that New World says? What balance are we using? That was his big question. So we explained to him that, because the biggest thing that people needed, again, is to know what the balance is in the account, not necessarily what the full balance is for the year, because that's not, we don't have access to it. Well, we didn't have access to that full year before last night. So it was a little bit confusing as to which balance for him to use. That's been explained. And now with the full budget being released, that confusion's gone.
Now, last night, when it came to numbers, there were several questions that created contention last night in regard to, you know, council would say, well, that's not the number you gave me last time. That's not the, you know, now we've got to change this. Why was there problem and ambiguity with that?
So, again, the numbers that are presented on the legislation, and this was brought up at the last council meeting, they had questions about whether or not those balances were accurate. So in those 2 weeks between the last council meeting and last night, I have to go back and I have to verify those balances. Obviously, some of them are going to change if there's been activity on the accounts. And so that was part of the reason why there was confusion with those, was because some of them did have balances change, or some of them weren't accurate to begin with.
Now, as far as penalties, last night, I believe it was identified by the clerk that there were 4 new penalties that had come in. Why are these coming in, and are these going to still come in? Because I think Mr. Ratliff made the assumption that he would bet there would be more penalties coming in on top of this.
Well, they weren't, and that's, again, another layer of confusion for, you know, the common person in Marion. They're not new penalties. They're actually old penalties that were already paid, but they were new because they were not discovered prior to yesterday. So what she was saying is that there were 3 penalties from 2021 and 22 that were, they were small. I mean, I think they were less than $5,000, if I recall, because I'm trying to remember what my email said. So they were small penalties for those 3 that were paid out of the wrong line item. And then the other one was a $13,000 penalty that would have been paid but not been requested for abatement, because it was paid via a refund. So it was money that was owed back to us, but instead of it being owed back to us, they just paid a penalty with it. So they're not new penalties. They're penalties that have already been paid, but we have to figure out what's going on with them and if we can request abatement for them.
Now, when it comes on the whole to a meeting like last night, where you were called upon several times during the meeting, and a lot of it did get contentious, what's going on in your mind while all that's going on?
A lot of it is just trying to keep track of what they're asking about. I know there were several times where Mr. Ratliff had said that I hadn't provided correct information, or I hadn't provided information at all, when in fact I either had provided the information or I was updating information that he requested. So it's not that I wasn't providing accurate information or giving out information at all. It's that either the email wasn't received or wasn't read, or I'm giving you corrected information that you asked for. So it's not that I'm not presenting false information.
Now, another thing that came up last night was this idea that on the computer, on your computers, there's a stop if money is going to be taken out of an account that would send it negative to pay something. And apparently, the question last night, now this is at the very tail end of the meeting, was so you can just take money out of any account you want, whoever's in there, and there's really no stop on that, and this should not be happening.
Right. So our system is set up, and it kind of is based on department. So each department has a clerk, and that clerk has access to only that department that they're supposed to be working on. The only department that has access to more than one department would be our office, because eventually all the bills come up to us anyways, and we have to pick and choose which department they're going for. But initially, each department works within only their department. So nobody's picking and choosing, like the example I believe last night was, well, someone in the Parks Department could just take from the police. No, doesn't work that way. The next question was, well, they can just take from whichever line item they want to pay for whichever line item or for whatever they want to pay for. In theory, I can understand how that would work, but the checks and balances of it going from the department to the auditor's office is what helps keep that in line. So if they're buying supplies on a credit card, when that credit card bill comes in, they code it as supplies, it comes up to our office, and we verify that indeed it is going through supplies. So there's checks and balances there as well.
You know, I'm sitting out in the audience, and I don't know what's going to transpire in these meetings beside what's on the agenda, which I only get the agenda, you know, an hour before the meeting. But, and that's my own fault, because I think the agenda is put out a little before that. But somebody watching that, what do you think they take away from what's going on up there? Because they're, I wouldn't say last night was the most contentious meeting I ever saw. It was definitely a confusing meeting. A lot of questions, a lot of confusion. What do you think somebody would take away sitting out there in the audience?
After last night's meeting, I'd be surprised if anybody took anything away, honestly, because there was a lot of confusion. But if they're listening and they're paying attention and they're trying to follow it all, I think I would hope that they would take away that with the budget being passed, a lot of the confusion will hopefully be remedied.
Now, why does that solve a lot of problem, passing the budget?
So with the way the budget's been previously with the 25% and the 50%, I think that by passing the full budget, they're not going to have as many appropriation requests as they've had in the last 2 months, 3 months. So I think a lot of that is going to start going away, and we'll have what we normally have, which is like a quarterly review or a monthly review of what's going on. It won't be this piecemealing of bits and pieces of what people will need to get through the year. So I think that's going to be a big relief to council. I think it's also going to be a little bit easier to keep track of the balances, because we won't be having to add in so many amendments, which means the balances will be a bit more accurate as well.
Now, I'm sure that somebody is going to listen to this and they're going to say, you said 6 months or in that area, things are going to be working correctly.
Right.
And I'm sure the question is going to be, how do you know that? And if it doesn't happen, then what?
That's a great question. I mean, like you said, we've been working, I've been working on this for 2 years. We've had Veritas working on bank recs for a little over a year. So it's been a long time coming. But, you know, if we're not there in 6 months, then obviously we just keep staying the course, because that means we've hit another roadblock somewhere. And the only way to get through roadblocks is to keep going.
Now, these groups that come in and help, like Veritas, there was a big discussion about that last night. Should we continue to pay them? Are they doing what they're doing? Is somebody telling them not to do things? Tell people about what this group is, what they're doing, and are things going well with them?
So Veritas Solutions Group is actually a forensic accounting firm. Back in 2022, at the tail end of 22, I believe, we started working with them on a bank reconciliation project to cover the 2020 and 2021 bank recs. They were going to go through and they were going to reconstruct those bank recs so that we had something to go off of for 23, 24, you know, and so on. 2020 went relatively smoothly. We were able to get that all sorted out. There was a little hiccup at the end of 2020 because, and this was presented by the Auditor of State's office, the adjustments that we needed at the end of 2020 shouldn't have gone into 2020 because that year was already audited. So we had to undo those adjustments and put them at the beginning of 2021. Completely understandable, easy fix. 2021 had a little hiccup because for some reason at the end of 2021, we weren't able to balance doing the exact same thing we did with 2020. So there were some issues as far as why that was working the way that was working. At that point, we actually requested that New World come in, sit down, figure out what was going on. And we had a rep from New World. His name is Doug. He's been absolutely fantastic. He's been able to kind of use our business analytics as like our back office of our system to kind of piece together what's been going on and why we were having this difference. So with Doug's help, we were able to narrow that down, got that fixed, and so 2021 got in line. Now what he's doing is he's actually going through January of 2022 to prove out his numbers for December of 2021 so that we can verify all that information, all the adjustments that we've done so far have been correct.
Do you think it's fair at this point how certain members of council are treating and reacting to you during the open meetings, which is what people get to see?
Again, I don't think it's a question of fair. I think they're frustrated and they're allowed to express that frustration. I don't like it, but, you know, that's part of the job.
When you sit there, is it hard to not get angry? Because it does come off sometimes very harsh.
It's more difficult to not come off as hurt. But I'm not there to show my feelings about it. I'm not there to run and hide or cry or get upset or start screaming. That's not what I'm there for. I'm there to present information. And if the information that I present isn't received either correctly or it's not received with, you know, open hearts and applause or anything like that, that's not my fault. That's just what happens. So at the end of the day, if I get hurt or people get angry with me or anything like that, that's their prerogative. They're allowed to do it.
Now, as far as the operation of council, even if there were questions about the auditor's office, even if there were questions about the finances of the city of Marion, I would think a meeting with this much on the agenda should not go 3 hours and 25 minutes. Do you think council is operational? Because this is a lot of new members on council, let's put it that way. When you watch the way it flows, do you feel it flows well?
And what you said is exactly what I was going to say. I think there's a lot of new members on council. I think there's a lot of people that might not necessarily have the full scope of what council operating on a regular basis looks like. I mean, I can only account for what I've seen in the last 2 years, but I've never sat through a 3-hour and 25-minute meeting before last night.
And I think that's what a lot of people were commenting on. I mean, I had people behind me who were commenting on that who actually left about an hour and a half into it. And there were people in front of me, the same thing. And like I say, when it started, maybe there were 30 to 40 people. By the time it was over, there were maybe 10 people left who made it the entire distance. And I don't know that all those people had questions about the auditor's office, but I think they were confused on why the procedure was not being followed. And the whole issue with CANDU, I want to touch on that because that became a whole issue last night. When I was looking here at the agenda last night. Now, the ordinance was redeclaring the city of Marion support for CANDU in order to continue the economic prosperity of the greater Marion area and declaring an emergency. Now, was this about money? Was that the issue last night?
Yes. So, generally what happens with that ordinance is there's also a dollar figure that CANDU bills the city and obviously we send out. So, on behalf of the city, we do submit, I believe it's around, I think it's $41,000, $41,200 or something like that. So there is a dollar figure that goes along with that.
So as far watching that last night, because I don't think you were heavily involved in that one.
No.
What did you ascertain went on there? We had Terry Klein, a citizen, getting up and basically saying, and this is, you know, just a take on what I saw, Gus Comstock's not doing his job. I've asked to be hired for projects, and he always turns it down. He goes to Columbus. And then Gus got up and was very heavy on the date, I believe May 23rd, that mm-hmm. there's going to be some people coming to town to look at some sites, and this is very, very important. And then he was questioned a little bit on when he's in his office, and there was a whole confusion there because Gus said, if somebody wants to come sit in my office, they can. And Aries said, when are you in your office? And then let me know and I'll be there. And it was a whole thing ending with a shot on his bike riding and physique.
Yeah.
So what'd you make of that? Why is there such a problem all of a sudden with can-do?
I think it's kind of public perception, you know, and in this case, the public is represented by Terry Klein. Terry Klein obviously had a lot to say, and he's very frustrated with the progress that can-do has had. I can't say that we've had that issue in previous years, but yeah, to take a personal shot the way that he did was, in my opinion, it wasn't appropriate, but I am one person.
And again, Mr. Barr, the first ward city councilman, I think was the first person who spoke up in that exchange and said that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
And then the president of council did get involved and basically shut that down. And it was a comment about his bike riding, Gus Comstock's bike riding,
right,
and his physique did not reflect that he was riding a bike. That's what we deteriorated into last night at one point.
Yes, and that was quite an interesting exchange to witness, but I didn't feel it was appropriate. It was just, I feel like people have a tendency to let their emotions get the better of them, and I understand that, but at the same time, there's a time and place for it, and council might not be the time or place.
It was certainly interesting. We got to take a break here. We're going to come back with Marion City Auditor Miranda McGinnis, some more questions about last night's meeting and other things going on. Be back in 15 minutes.
There's no rhythm to it. Of course, it doesn't. I think in the end, it doesn't matter. But it's just whatever you think. So I thought Marla, I wanted the M, so Marla gives had a better rhythm to me.